Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. My co-host is Norman Nakanishi, former University of Hawaii football chaplain, pastor of one of Hawaii's fastest-growing churches, respected and highly sought as an inspirational communicator. Today's program is part of a special series we are calling Leadership Moments. William Bridges said, "Disenchantment, whether it is a minor disappointment or a major shock, is a signal that things are moving into transition in our lives." Are you disenchanted? Are you facing some kind of disappointment? Have you been shocked recently? Are you in transition? If you are, welcome to the reality of life. And today, there's nothing more really that we want to do but then to deal with the realities that we face in our lives. But with that, look at it, observe it, extract lessons out of it that the Lord will give to us as to how to purposefully and skillfully navigate through these sometimes uncharted waters. And our guest today is here to share heart to heart with us as some of the things the Lord has taught him and continues to teach him. Heart to heart with you. That's what we do here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. So I pause just for a moment to remind you that the reason we have this program is to lead you to Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ and you're trying to make it through some uncertain times, well, for you to know how much God loves you, that Christ knows you, whatever you're going through, in fact, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ today calls you to himself, my dear friend, calls you by name, his everlasting arms reaching out to you. And if you're walking with the Lord, if you are already a Christ follower, well, we're here to encourage you, to build you up. I believe you're going to be inspired today. Pastor Ralph Moore has a reputation for making the Bible easy to understand. He is the founding pastor of Hope Chapel Kaneohe Bay. He and his wife Ruby also planted Hope Chapel Hermosa Beach in California. Under his leadership, the Hope Chapels have multiplied to more than 700 churches located on 6 continents. Ralph has traveled extensively teaching pastors and leaders around the world how to effectively make disciples that multiply new churches. He has 2 children, Carl and Kelly, and 3 grandchildren. He's the author of several books, including Let Go of the Ring, Your Money, How to Multiply Your Church, Starting a New Church, Prayer, the book entitled Dare to Ask, Defeating Anxiety, and now his newest book, Stress Busters. He's here to talk to us about that and more. Pastor Ralph, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You wrote a book, this book, Stress Busters. I have it in my hands. You'll discover simple and practical tools in the battle against anxiety, depression, and life's everyday stresses. I mean, it seems like, Pastor Ralph, when we talk about the disenchantments of life and the transitions that we go through, this book has come the right place at the right time. Why did you write it?
The reason I wrote it is I went through a really devastating anxiety attack about 8-9 years ago. And I wrote a book about that called Defeating Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I started getting a lot of feedback via Facebook and email and whatever. And so I thought, well, you know, I ought to think about some of the things that I've learned since that kind of push stress away and try to beat stress before it beats me. And so that's kind of what motivated the book. It's the response to the other book. I thought that would do something good for people.
Take us further. What response? What was it that you got that people were saying that prompted you to take it to another level?
Two things. One is just people don't know how to cope. You know, they go through life and life treats them ways that they didn't expect, and they start to kind of come unglued at the seams. And some people do wrong things. They go to alcohol. They, you know, they try to party their problems away. They do whatever. And so I started picking up a little bit of that as people were writing to me. The other thing was that there are people who are fearful of medicine, fearful of going to a doctor. I don't talk about that in this book so much. I did in the other book. But I got responses from people who, actually one woman had kept her daughter away from seeing a doctor with anxiety issues and stress issues, and the daughter then took her life. And so I get this lady emailing me, and you know, you get to things like that. Those are real, real heartbreaking things. And so I just kind of assembled a few little tools that I've used to try to get over the stress as it comes, you know, so you can cope and that you don't blow a tire someplace.
You mentioned blowing a tire on the road of life. That happens. We all have blown tires on the road of life. You talk about some lessons that you present in the book, and one of the things, Pastor, that I speak for myself, I've always appreciated about you through your ministry, whether it's from a distance or a little bit more up close. And I'm sure I'm not speaking in an isolated way, and Pastor Norman would concur. You have your finger on the pulse of people. Therefore, there's a continuous relevance in your ability to communicate. You're living life. You're engaged, and then you're able to somehow assimilate or synthesize biblical truth to the reality of everyday life. Practical. What are some lessons that that you're presenting in the book?
Well, actually, one of the lessons that I'm presenting in the book is to just begin to speak positive things that come from the Word of God. I'm going through a time right now in my life where there's a big transition happening, good transition, but it's causing me to reach out to the Lord in ways that I haven't for a long, long time. And I've been in my reading, in my devotion time with the Lord, I'm learning to just gather up promises from God and kind of make confessions of faith out of them. You know, my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a little aberration of the scripture, but that's bringing it home to where I live. The Bible says that if we delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. So I'm learning to just, you know, I want to be careful here because I don't want to sound like Eastern religion, some kind of a mantra, but you know, I'm just trying to make it a part of my day to take that scripture and then personalize it, that because I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. And I got some pretty heavy desires right now. There's some things going on. We're starting a new church, and there's a lot of stuff going on like that. And then in the book, you know, there's a lot of just practical stuff, just kind of down to earth. You know, I used to be a news junkie, and I found out that just the whole world can keep going without Ralph Moore. It doesn't really need for me to pay attention to everything that's going on for the world to keep spinning. And I'd rather spend more time with the Lord. I'd rather spend more time with things that edify me than with the news. I actually sat down this morning. I had a real early morning appointment, and I came here for this. And in between, I sat in a coffee shop and read a newspaper, and I went cover to cover. And it's probably the first time in maybe 4 years that I've done that. I've kind of learned that if I get my news about 2 days a week, I just keep up with the internet. I got about 7 websites that I look at. But if I spend an hour or so and just look at everything, I know what's going on in the world, but I don't have to cloud my mind up with it all the time, and it is stressful. Today, the reason I bought the paper was there was good news on the front cover. They said that the economy in Hawaii is doing so well that a new shopping center that's going to be built by my house is going to go twice as big as they planned. And then I found out that our rail project's ahead of schedule financially. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I don't get this usually. But then all the rest of everything was in there. Was like, oh, no. You know, everything from the dying honeybees to terrorism to whatever. Hmm. And you can just handle so much of that. And so that's one of the things that just learning to limit the stressors that come into your life.
Practical insights about the margins in life, navigating through the seasons of change. As you're listening today, perhaps at this very moment you are in process of navigating through your own season of change. But the thing is, it's not necessarily something that you've got to do on your own. In fact, it's best that you don't. In fact, Pastor Ralph Moore is here with Pastor Norman Nakanishi and me as we sit here, because we believe you don't have to live on your own. You don't have to try to figure things out by yourself. The Lord Himself is here to guide you, to comfort you. And a reminder like that today, maybe it could make a difference for you, maybe lift your heart up with hope. We're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, more from Pastor Ralph Moore, talking about seasons in life. The Lord is doing things in His life. And He's here to share a little about what is happening. Spring, summer, winter, fall, they each have their own characteristics and each very meaningful. And based on those things, how we respond, very key. Some insights, lessons for you when we come back from Pastor Ralph Moore. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call, so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Take a news break. learn to speak positively, to quote scripture, to remind yourself of the Word of God. Building healthy sleep routines. What about constructing a life plan? What about seizing the power of restitution? How about learning to love your job? Hey, these and more are found in Pastor Ralph Moore's new book, Stress Busters. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi. Our featured guest today, Pastor Ralph Moore of Hope Chapel fame. Today, as we talk, as you might be tuning in right now, I want to welcome you to the show, and I'm so glad that you're with us. If you want to catch that first part of the show, we already talked a little bit about the book. We'll go further here. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this podcast for free. Get the show in its entirety. But more than that, as you listen, perhaps the Lord would put someone on your heart that you need to share this podcast with. Go ahead and do that. Get it for free there at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Well, we call you the Pope of Hope. And Ralph's a hero of mine. Our own congregation would not exist if it were not, Pastor Ralph, for your wisdom back in 1992 and 93. And of course, now we're planting churches as well. And it's a joy. It's a passion. But it's stressful.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're older. Now it's the digital generation, a lot of stimulus, a lot of information coming at you fast and furious in all kinds of colors. Having gone through everything, and you're a techie.
Yeah.
You're unusual. You're a freak. You're older, but you're a techie. What would you say for young businessmen, entrepreneurs, pastors growing up in the tech age and the stress factors that play into their own development? Because it's mind-boggling to me. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I see people going 90 miles an hour all the time and then doing, all these caffeinated drinks to try to go a little bit faster. And, I'm sitting here looking in the room and I see a lot of caffeine and none of it's in front of me. One of the stress busters that I figured out was caffeine in my life. And I did a little research in the book and they say that 43% of all doctor visits are somehow related to caffeine.
No kidding.
And that...
Pastor Norman and I are giving each other the eye.
Oh, I know.
My Starbucks here.
And yet, I don't think you should cut it out. I just, think that there's this whole thing about technology and speed, and we're getting away from whatever it is that's deep inside of us that are the values that are going to make life work in the long run. You know, one of the chapters in the book I wrote about a little bit about finishing well, and I see people who are driving themselves; they're going like crazy to get ahead, and caffeine. I gotta just say this: it's actually in its natural form, it's a natural insecticide that plants put off, and it does all kind of weird things to us. I once killed, we had these croaky frogs in our neighborhood. And I found out you could kill them with caffeine, so I got a lot of no-dos and mixed it up in water and sprayed the frog, and I got rid of this crazy thing. But I see this business of we got to go faster, we got to get more done, we got to get ahead more, whatever. And it rolls over into people are into alcohol, or they're into sometimes adultery. They get into divorce. It's kind of a marriage mill, and you look at people's lives. And I can remember when I was a really young man looking at some people that were old and lonely, and thinking, I don't want to ever end up old and lonely. I want to end up old and loved. And I think that if we come back to kind of those kind of issues, then we're going to be fine. And no matter how much caffeine you drink, or no matter how much how fast you're running, or how technology, how much technology drives you, and it drives me a lot. One of the things that I've learned is that I need to just shut my mind down at night. And one of the chapters I talk about emptying your mind of tomorrow, because that's one of the things that causes depression and causes anxiety, is that we take the current circumstance that we're in, our future, our problems, whatever, and we project to the future. And when we do that, we either get really fearful or we get really depressed. and it's called catastrophic thinking. And so I just learned to use technology. I mean, my cell phone is a wonderful tool. I can do everything with the thing. I found my way here today. But, you know, I've got this really kind of sophisticated to-do list that's real hierarchical, so I can arrange things and reorganize my life and everything. But I just learned to dump everything into there and just get it off my mind so that I can have some peace and quiet and just be with my wife, be with my grandchildren. Be a family person and not have the little details of life niggling at me night and day. It's real important, I think.
It's important. I concur. Because there's many times when I'm there, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'm present, but I'm not engaged. My mind is speeding off somewhere else. But you're talking about being at the being there, living in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my wife can catch me at that faster than anybody in the world. You know, I used to, before I had my anxiety thing, I used to really, I could actually run staff meeting and read a book at the same time. And I took great pride in that. And in my study days, I'd be doing emails and talking on the phone. And I had
the master multitasker. We have him in studio with us today.
It was hard. It was hard and it was rude. You know, I had this one friend, a guy named John, and he's a pastor, and he'd call me up and we'd be talking pretty soon. He'd go, "You're answering email, aren't you?" And catch me every time. But I've learned that I just have to stop what I'm doing. And, you know, if I'm really into it, my wife will come. I have an office upstairs in my house. And she'll come and she'll sort of stand at the door as though she's waiting for permission to speak. At that point, I know I've pushed it too far.
Wow.
She's got to be more important than anything else. And if she's not, then I'm not whole.
So Ruby helps you with that.
Yeah.
So it's a personalized sort of a signal to you. What are some suggestions that you might have for how to personalize certain practices in our own lives to either alleviate or to remove unnecessary stress?
Oh, man. There's a whole bunch of things. You know, I think about stress at work. So many people I know are frustrated. I talked to a woman recently in our church, and she'd prayed and prayed and prayed for a job, and she got this new job, and it was a little bit over her head. And instantly she decided she hated the job and she was going to get out of there. And so she kept running around asking for counsel from people for several weeks. But what she was really doing was trying to get somebody to say, "Quit your job," and no one would. And now she quit her job. And she's a middle-aged lady, and she's stuck. But, you know, I look at my job and whatever your job is, and I've had a bunch of them. When I was in college, I was always changing jobs, and I worked in LA County, and the county would encourage you to keep looking for new jobs. And so I would find ways to like my job. One of them was, there was a guy that I worked with that was actually, he was married. He was going to USA to be an architect. And he had a full-time job, and he had a part-time job. And USC is a demanding school. And I had a boring job. I mean, I'd go in there and sit all day long and probably work for an hour and a half a day. And so I just decided I'll do his work for him. And he'd actually fall asleep at his desk. The first time he fell asleep, I got mad at him. After that, I thought, "Oh, I'm a Christian. This is a chance to do something to bless somebody." And so I just picked up, you know, if he was awake, I'd let him do his job. But if he's asleep, I'd do his job for him. You know, I had another job in the county where I had to push this little cart down through this aisle. It was like, imagine a gymnasium with open file cabinets. There's no doors on them. And all the stuff's kind of sticking out sideways. And the files are literally falling on the floor. And you couldn't get the cart down it. So I started cleaning up my section, which made it easier for me to go get my cart down, because I could do my homework afterwards. I was still in college, and if I got my work done fast, I could do my homework. So I wanted to clean it up for me. Well, then I started to find out the guys on the other shifts, who I was always mad at, because I took the files out in the middle of the night. They put the files back in the daytime. They did a sloppy job. Then I start talking to them. Both when I'm coming to work, I meet the afternoon guys. In the morning, I meet the morning guys. And they were so thankful that I had cleaned these shelves. Well, again, a job that just potentially is awful was delightful for me. And doing something good you can make somebody's day. If you got time, I got a funny story I want to tell you. This happened. I was the other end of this. I was in, uh, I was on my way back from Burma, Myanmar, and I had to fly through Bangkok to Tokyo to home. And I slept overnight in the airport. It was actually a hotel inside the airport in Bangkok, and I slept overnight and get up at 5 in the morning, and there's a big sign that says my flight is canceled. It's a United flight. And the airport is 2 miles long. I'm smack in the middle of it, so I have to walk, and it turns out 1 whole mile. I'll go to the very end of the airport. And it's not United. It's some other airline that's associated with them. I won't name them, but they're not going to give me the time of day. And so I asked if they can book me, and they just told me no. And so there's a security guard standing there. And it turns out he has some relationship with United. And he starts talking to me and asks for my passport. And he gets on his cell phone. He's not like official. He's on his cell phone. He finds a flight. He takes me back to this desk. Huh. And starts talking to the lady, and she's speaking in Thai. She talked to me in English earlier, but she's speaking in Thai. But then she says the word standby. And I'm thinking, I'm in Thailand. I don't know a soul. If I have to go find a taxi, I don't even know how to do that. Then go find a hotel. I don't know how to do that. And maybe do this for 3 or 4 days in a row while I'm waiting for a flight out of here. Because if you cancel a whole flight, there's a lot of people waiting in line. The guy goes away again, doesn't lose heart, finds me another flight. Comes back to the lady. She says, stand by again. He starts pounding on her desk. She gets me a flight. And I end up flying from Bangkok to Seoul, Korea, to San Francisco, to Los Angeles, to Honolulu. But this guy, it made his day. You should have seen him. He was glowing like you couldn't believe. And then he walked me all the way to the airplane, which was on the other end of the airport. It's like 2 miles. And I'm old. I'm 67 years old, and so I'm not running. This other security guard comes up, wants to see my boarding pass, starts freaking out that I'm going to miss the flight because I'm not moving fast enough, takes my boarding pass and my passport, runs to the gate and holds the gate for me.
Wow.
And these guys at the end of the day were like, they were joyous, you know? It was like the party for them. And I'm thinking, you know, we're stressing out. We hate our jobs. We're bored. There's ways of making it better if we're just willing to do that. And that's what I try to hit on in the book, some of those things.
Spoken masterfully, as is typically characteristic of Pastor Ralph Moore. Wow, I'm engaged. I almost forgot that we're doing a radio show here, Pastor Norman. But the lesson of that, just a shift of perspective.
Yeah.
A shift of perspective, my dear friend, as you listen today, could make all the difference in your life. And you know what? It's a spiritual thing too, because it affects your heart. It affects the way you see people, you see things. And what a marvelous example we've just been able to behold as you've been able to, Pastor Ralph, turn our ears into eyes. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you'll hear more from Pastor Ralph Moore. He's the author of a new book called Stress Busters. It's available at Amazon.com. I encourage you to go there, get it. It's not only a good, quick read, but substantial in the sense with practical insights that, as you've heard, will just carry you right through. There's an element of entertainment, you know, when you're a gifted storyteller like he is. To find out more about him, Facebook.com/RalphMooreHawaii. In fact, we'll be back more with Ralph Moore.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, there are those moments when you have to make a choice. You make a choice. Sometimes when you have to make that choice, you're mentally, emotionally discombobulated because it caught you by surprise. Or maybe there were signs along the way that you just weren't paying attention to. Maybe people were saying things, things were happening, but you didn't really pick up on it. And then you have to make a choice. Well, that's one way life could be lived. And yet there's another way. There's a little bit more precision to it. Precision, a little bit more purpose to it. And as a result of that, it's more free-flowing. I'm talking about transitions in life. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host today, Norman Nakanishi. Our featured guest, Pastor Ralph Moore. He's the author of the new book, Stress Busters. In fact, you can find that book. In fact, I encourage you to get that book at Amazon.com to get this program in its entirety. And I would even say if you've been ministered to, if you've been touched, if you've been encouraged, and you want to stand with us, we're taking this program through our 90-second vignettes. We're in 10 states now across the country and growing. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can be part of the Good Life Hawaii Partnership Club and help us, hold hands with us, and take the hope of Christ to more and more people across the country and through our media ministry around the world.
At the turn of the century, Ralph, I remember reading the millennial edition of the Star Bulletin advertiser. It was Sunday paper. And on the cover, it profiled leaders from various walks of life. I think it was about 20 people. And in the area of church and Christianity and religion, they said one of the most influential people, and you represent, was you, your face, not anyone else's face. It was yours. And I cheered because I went, there it is. You know, here's a guy who, even back then, it was almost several hundred churches being planted, six continents. And I know it's more now.
Yeah, it's more than we even than Danny said at the beginning of the show.
It is.
And it's been weird because I've been bumping into people who are going, you don't know about these churches. No. And a guy 2 weeks ago said, there's 260 churches in East Africa that you're not aware of. And somebody had just told me about 350 in the Philippines that came out of New Hampshire, out of, you know, great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter church from Hope Chapel. Hmm. And so we know that it's up around 1,400 right now. It's pretty exciting.
Well, how's that, Danny?
I mean, it's incredible to hear about that. We talk about an exponential explosion for Christ. There you have it.
Here's the irony. We've been talking about stress busters. I've got to get that book. I read your last one. I have all your books. Okay, I've read them most. I think I've read all of them. You've done more and more, Ralph Moore, over the years. And yet the last two books says less is more. And yet you continue, I guess, to do more, but doing it smartly and wisely. What is the Lord leading you to do now in this season of life?
Well, what he's leading me to do now is kind of a surprise. I'm planting a new church. And, you know, I'm going to kind of tie this into the book just a little bit. There's a chapter in here about, do you have a life plan? And when I was pretty young, I started a life plan. I had a financial plan. I was like 13 years old painting fences, and I'd make $100 on this job, and I started figuring out how long it would take me to get to 1,000 and then 10,000. So I started thinking that way. And I have a friend that's an architect. He says we need to create a fat pencil plan. A fat pencil plan is that when he was in school to learn to be an architect, they wouldn't let you design with a sharp pencil. You had to have a really fat one, so you could only sketch out concepts. You couldn't sketch out details. And so early in my life, I started to put together concepts. And one of the thoughts was that I always had somebody in place if I died in an airplane crash because I travel a lot. But we always looked for somebody a full generation younger than me to take over the church. And it turned out to be my son. That wasn't the plan, but it turned out to be. And this is kind of the benefit of the fat pencil deal. You get the whole thing in shape and then let God fill in the details. And so Carl shows up, and we hired him to be our youth pastor. He turns out to be a phenomenal preacher, a great organizer. The church is doing really good. It's grown much faster in the last 5-6 years than it was in the 5 or 6 years before. And that credit has to go to the young leadership team. And so they're doing really well. A number of years ago, we started an extension service. I wasn't preaching on Sunday morning at the big service anymore because I'd given that one over. And so we went across the island to a place called Kahala, and we started in a movie theater. And so then Carl came to visit. He didn't visit in the beginning because he was, like, struggling to learn his job. And when he finally came over and preached, he just shook his head and goes, "You guys are a different culture. You don't really, and we're trying to make you do everything the way we do it, and don't you guys probably be better off if you just make it into its own church." And so I just, you know, that's like putting meat in front of a dog for me. And so we are launching, actually, as we're talking today, it's next week. We're launching a new church called Hope Chapel Honolulu. You can find us on hopehonolulu.com or hopechapelhonolulu.com on the internet. And we're ready to kick off. And we've got about 150 people. And as we speak today, there's another meeting going on downtown with the building department. We may be renting or leasing some property in the downtown part, the business district. And so we're going to try and be a different kind of a church than we've seen before.
So there you go again. You just can't help yourself, can you? You're 67 years young, once a church planter, always a church planter. Yeah. That's inspirational.
And, you know, part of it is, they say that 70 is the new 50, right? And I don't feel old. You know, my favorite.
Okay, I've never heard that one, but since you said it, I'll believe it.
Believe it. Because, you know, it's funny, because when I was young, I traveled to Japan with a guy, my first trip to Japan, and he was 58, and I was like 40. And he ran my legs off. I couldn't keep up with him. Well, now it's the same way with me. I take young guys with me, and they're panting to keep up. And the Bible says in Psalm 92 that that godly people are going to grow fruit in their old age, and they're going to be strong like a towering palm tree giving off fruit. And so I'm hanging on to that one for dear life. And so, you know, I got a lot more in me, and the plan was really for me to quit when I was 70, and we were going to hand the whole thing off. And this kind of stretches my glide, and I'm really excited about that. And the other thing that's really cool that's come out of this is that I've gotten to a couple other old geezers who have retired, and they're finding a need in the mainland. And I was in Budapest, Hungary 2 weeks ago, as I still travel a lot and teach guys how to plant churches. And I was at one of those deals, and I met an old friend from Holland. And his church there, he handed off about 5 years ago to a younger guy. And the church has changed so drastically that older people are feeling put off. And by older people, I don't mean people in their 80s. I'm talking about people in their 50s. But they're older. They're not 20. And they've left the church. And so it's floating. My friend in the mainland that's thinking about starting a church also said that that's going on quite a bit in the mainland, where there's a lot of people just kind of lost, and the church that they were with for years isn't their church anymore. And so it took about 15 minutes with a guy in Holland, and he's starting a new church. He was an attorney who planted a church about 40 years ago, and then the church outgrew the law practice. And now he's got these people that are just floating around. It's not like they're saying we're mad at the pastor. It's just that they're saying that's not us anymore. And they're not going anywhere to church. And so he decided to plant a church in 15 minutes. And I'm kind of excited that because we started this thing, now I've got two other guys, one for sure and one maybe, that's going to do it. And then the Lord is sending people our way. We're helping sponsor a church in Las Vegas, a church in Big Bear, California. And we haven't even started our own church yet. It's happening in a week. The following week, we're having a guy from Big Bear in, and I was on the phone this morning coaching a guy in Las Vegas. And so when we first got this thing together, it's just only been about 3 months. And I felt the Lord really put on my heart that you need to make this into a missionary church. This needs to be a missionary church. I'm thinking, we're so small. What's that all about? We, you know, what difference can we make in the world? And yet the world seems to be coming to us. And so very excited, very, very excited.
And you are making a difference in the world. It seems like when you stay in this the sweet spot of your gifting, the fruit just is born again and again and again. There's a flow like you're riding a wave. I'm just observing from a distance, reading your books and seeing, meeting people that you've ministered to, listening to your messages, you know, on the radio and from time to time even in person. But to see that happening. Pastor Norm, when you talked about the leadership feature in the advertiser, Star Bulletin or Star Advertiser, whatever it was, back at the turn of the millennium, I can see that. And when we talk about leadership, Ralph Moore, leadership transitions. I'd like to throw that out when we come back. Lessons you've learned about leadership transitions. You might be thinking as you're listening, okay, well, that's church-related. Well, no, it could also relate from a corporate standpoint, leadership transitions. It could relate from a athletic standpoint, leadership transitions. It could even relate in family, familial terms. There are transitions that take place. Hey, there's transitions that take place in life, don't you think? Wouldn't you agree with me? And wouldn't it be beneficial if we could extract just a few lessons about transitions? Well, when we come back, Pastor Ralph Moore, we'll share some of that. And in this, our last segment, some leadership insights from my co-host, Norman Nakanishi. That and more when we come back with Ralph Moore and Norman Nakanishi. Stay with us. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You follow your calling, you follow your passion, your the gifting that God has given to you, and you see things grow. You apply your hand to the plow, so to speak, and you work at it, day after day, week after week, year after year, and you see the Lord kiss it with His grace, and growth begins to take place, and things begin to multiply. But there comes a time in life when a transition has to take place. We've all experienced that. But there are various forms, levels, and even the magnitude of these transitions. And how do you skillfully navigate a leader passing on to a leader who hopefully eventually will pass on to another leader? You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Norman Nakanishi. Our featured guest today, Pastor Ralph Moore. He's the author of a new book, Stress Busters. You can get that at Amazon.com. Hey, who doesn't have stress? I mean, we all know. Get it at Amazon.com and check out this show. Get the podcast in its entirety. You can check out our blogs too. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com there and more resources. And to connect with Pastor Ralph, facebook.com/RalphMooreHawaii. Pastor Ralph, so leadership transitions. How do you skillfully, what are some lessons that you've learned?
Well, I think for me in the beginning, it's look at the Bible. And you see Moses and Joshua, and you see Elijah and Elisha, and you see Jesus and the disciples. There's a half dozen others, Paul and Timothy. And all of them include the ingredient of time. And one of the problems that I see in churches so often is, especially churches in trouble or something, a pastor will resign, and a new guy shows up next week, and the church goes to pieces. So I think intentionally overlapping the transition is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. I think the possibility of mentoring or discipling the person who's going to succeed you is another huge thing. Peter Drucker, the management guru, was a Christian. I don't know if everybody knows that, but he was a really outspoken Christian. In fact, donated a whole bunch of the last part of his life to Rick Warren. Mm-hmm. And Drucker, in one of his books, says that in a business setting, a CEO transition should be a 10-year process. And that it should overlap. There should be a time when it's, you're watching me, you're learning from me, and then there's a time when I'm just sort of hanging around to help steer the ship just a little bit. If you need me, I'm here. And that you don't just kind of drop and blow away, but you're there so that you can offer wisdom if wisdom is needed. And I think that the best advice that I could give anybody in any transition is make sure that you give more time to it than you think you need. Because it's time that's going to make it count, make it work.
I'm thinking about just cognizance, awareness. You talk about a decade worth of preparation, but just being aware that a transition is going to come about.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're so engaged in what we're doing, we don't give it a second thought.
Yeah. You know, I'm 67, and we're planting a new church, and I'm already thinking, I've got two names of possible successors in the back of my brain. And I may have made a mistake, but I've gone to both of them and said, you need to know that you're on my list. And no promises here, and there's somebody else also on the list. And they both they're not even a part of our church, but they're people that I know really well and that I've had real strong input to their life for many years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm an old guy and I don't have that much time left. And so I got to be thinking about this even as we get started. And I think it's so important and most people don't pay much attention to it.
This is a unique time. We've got Ralph Moore and Norman Nakanishi in studio together talking about leadership, transitions, stress, insights. In this leadership moment feature, leadership insights, Pastor Norman, what do you feel the Lord has given you in relation to all this as a certain reflection that will be just perfect for our dear listener today?
You know, I've watched Ralph, and I watched Ralph. Actually, I've watched you, Danny, because you've gone through more transitions in life than most 50-year-olds. even 60-year-olds, beginning with falling off the mountain. Mm. But let me just put it this way. As we mature in life, I observe that really retirement is not a concept I see in the Bible. Reinvention, renewal, redefinition is. Not all seasons last forever, and we need to know how to make gracious yet bold transitions. Lasting legacies require the changing of life lane in order to climb to new levels. And I think one thing I've learned from Ralph especially, this increases the leverage of our value and does not lessen it. But it requires letting go of what was in order to latch onto what will be. I look at you, you know, Danny, crusade evangelist, church planter, author, publisher, businessman, TV host, now radio host of the number one Christian radio show in Hawaii and now going national. I mean, what else you got coming? You've gone through a lot of transitions. I bought a condo in Vegas, part owner of that because of you. You know, you've been after me to write a book. You're in a season you need to give back. So here you are. You're, 14 years my junior, but you're provoking me to prepare to transition to do other things. And then I look at you, Pastor Ralph. Hermosa Beach. Let go of that mega church. You come to Kaneohe, right?
Start on a beach. Because yes, nobody would rent his property.
Under a tree, yeah. Right. And you break open the whole paradigm of using schools. Now, at 67, we've said that too much today, haven't we? At 67.
But 70 is the new 50.
Okay, that's 70 right. Is the new. You're going to tweet that? Okay. And now you're starting Hope Honolulu.
Right.
You know, and you're traveling the world more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in Beijing and Budapest. You texted me from Europe one time. I mean, are you crazy? And I look at this. I ask myself, why? Well, let me leave us with this. We all have God-given influence and must be faithful to steward it well and steward it till the end. We are put on this earth for a defined period of time to extend His grace to others by making disciples, beginning with reaching those far from God. That's a great read, Ralph. And to all of Hawaii, I say, read this book, Making Disciples, because that's everybody's call. Ralph's book, published by Regal, released several months ago.
Yeah.
And that's something Jesus calls all of us to do in every season of life. The longer we live, really, the more we can give. Mm-hmm. And let's remember, the good life, Hawaii, the good life is God's gift to us so we can take eternal life to others.
Sweet.
Very good.
Sweet. Well, Pastor Ralph, we have a few moments, just a few moments. But a dear friend right now, as they're listening, they're saying, okay, I just love listening to him. I love the insight that Pastor Norman just gave. I'm full. What would you say as a parting shot to someone who's trying to navigate through their own transitions of life? It could be someone who's being led, doesn't like where they're being led, or someone who has to make the tough decisions and then take action based on what they decide. What would you say?
I'm going to come way out of left field with this one. I'd say get on your knees and pray. I sit praying in a recliner chair every day, and I read the Bible every day. But there's something that happens when my back's against the wall. And the other day I found my back against the wall. And I just got on my knees. And the old-time evangelists used to talk about praying through.
Praying through.
And I just found myself that it had been a while since I've done this. And I'm embarrassed to say that. It shouldn't have been a while. And I just stayed on my knees until something happened in my soul. Mm-hmm. And there was a release in my soul. And the weird thing was that in about 3 hours, five different issues that were pressing issues resolved themselves. God resolved the issues. And I wasn't necessarily directly praying about it. I was basically crying my eyes out and saying, I'm hurting here. You got to help me. And I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. And the Lord comes through. And so at the end of the day, you know, books I write are nice, but the deal is that you get on your face before God and He meets you.
A reminder, an encouragement, a prodding, a gentle prodding from Pastor Ralph Moore. Not someone from the ivory tower just throwing down speckles of good things, but someone in the middle of his own scenario, coming to his knees earnestly before the Lord with sincerity of heart, crying out to God, "My friend, is this your time? Did you know that the moment of crying out to God, the moment of desperation and desperate praying through, oh, you are never closer to the divine breakthrough than you are at that very moment." I can see Pastor Ralph nodding his head, and we hold hands with you. Pastor Ralph, we've got about 30 seconds, 40 seconds or so. Could you just say a quick prayer for our dear friend right now?
God, I pray for whoever is listening to this and they're feeling overwhelmed by life, that you would be with them, that your grace would be upon them, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them, and that they would find a way to find peace in the midst of stress and all that it puts upon them. Lord, that you would break the stressors in their life before they break them. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.
Amen. I would say, receive that. We've essentially, figuratively held hands with you in that prayer for you, my friend. Dear brother, dear sister, oh, how God loves you. And so today, a special show with Pastor Ralph Moore, Norman Nakanishi. Pastor Ralph, thank you. Thank you for coming
thank
to
you.
Be
I love
with
being
us.
Here.
To find out more and to connect with Pastor Ralph, it's facebook.com/RalphMooreHawaii. And remember his book, Stress Busters, at Amazon.com. I hope you've been encouraged by the story, the sharing of Pastor Ralph Moore. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can click the Get to Know Jesus tab link, and I've got a special presentation for you. And like we said earlier, as we expand, the Lord opens doors of expansion for our program. You can connect with us, stand with us, join the Good Life Hawaii Partnership Club, and you can make a donation there and stick with us at thegoodlifehawaii.com partnership. Joel 2:23 says, "Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord, your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Ralph Moore. Pastor Ralph, you can find out more, Pastor Ralph, facebook.com/RalphMooreHawaii. Until next time, along with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi, and our technical producer, Jack Waters, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.